We do have Mufti Zubair Bayat on the program. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana.
How are you doing, Mufti Saab?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. Mufti Saab, we continue with our program on the fiqh of children. Last week we spoke about children in Hajj. We spoke about their status, what's the ruling, qurbani, etc. And that was last week's discussion, MashaAllah. We continue with the fiqh of children today, Mufti Saab.
Ji, Mawlana. we will discuss some aspects of fasting, as I mentioned last week, Mawlana.
Ji.
Because we had discussed the rules of Salah and Zakat and Hajj, but some aspects regarding the fasting. So, first of all, I think the question arises that should children be made to fast, and if so, then at what age? So yes, indeed, the children should be encouraged to fast. Even though it is not compulsory upon them, but in this way, as they get into the habit of fasting, the ability will grow better in them, and they will get into this habit long before they reach the age of maturity, and the love of this great act of fasting and ibadat will be infused in their hearts. However, one must look at the age of the child, one must look at the ability of the child, one must look at the inclination of the child. One should not force the child to keep the fast if they are unable to, as far as the age is concerned, as far as the health is concerned, or as far as the inclination is concerned. Because that way one will actually be discouraging and driving the children away from the love of Islam. But if there is an environment of fasting in the home, invariably children, little children also want to fast because they see everybody else fasting.
Okay.
So we cannot give a specific age when they should do so, but I would feel that once they reach the age of 7, if they have been encouraged to read Salah from that age, then fasting is also a pillar of Islam. And so they should also be encouraged to fast from the age of 7. If you have to sort of compare one ibadah to another, that is also an ibadah, this is also an ibadah, and they're encouraged to do that one ibadah at the age of 7, so they could be encouraged to do the other ibadah also at the age of 7. So that's just a recommendation, but there's no hard and fast. Some children at the age of 7, they may not be still strong and healthy, so you could delay it for another year or two. And there may be some children who are able to fast long before they even reach the age of 7. There are children who are 5 also who fast, alhamdulillah. So they should be encouraged. The idea is encouragement. Sahaba ikram is to encourage the children to fast. So from this we can see that encouraging children to fast is actually a good thing. Now, in the case of some children, they can't fast the whole day, then they could be encouraged to keep half a fast.
Yeah.
It's a half roza, you know. Now, it's not a shari'i fast as such, but it's also a manner of preparing them and training them to deal with abstaining from food and drink, to be able to cope with hunger pangs, etc. So in that way, the little children, even though it's not deemed to be a full fast, and it's not doesn't meet the definition of a fast, but it is a kind of preparation for the future, so they could also be encouraged to keep half a fast. And there are indeed many children who do keep some kind of, you know, this half fast that they do in the beginning, and from that training, they are able to keep the full fast in the subsequent Ramadans. Then, as far as the reward of the fasting is concerned, just like we mentioned regarding Hajj and Salah, that if children fast, the reward will go to their parents. Because it is the child itself is not mukallaf, is not eligible, or is not compelled by the Sharia to carry out these acts. So this is considered to be a nafil act or for that child, and the reward of that is then granted to the parents of that child. So there is indeed great benefit for the parents to encourage their children, but as I say, it will always be looking at the age factor, the health factor, and also the inclination of the child. There may be certain days, for example weekends and things, that they want to play and to run around and so on, and if you're going to force them to fast, then they will find that they begin to dislike it. So we must be careful about that aspect.
Also in terms of reward, Mufti Sahab, parents also say, okay, if you fast, I'll give you 10 ren, if you fast all your fast, I'll give you 100 ren at the end of the month, I'll buy you so and so. Now, is that a promise, is it binding on a parent then to give the child money or whatever they've promised? Can they use such tactics to get the child to fast? What's the Islamic view on that?
Yes, that's a good, very good question, Mohana, and very important too. Give children incentives, you know, to encourage them to fast. The parents may offer them, may promise them some kind of reward. This is absolutely no problem at all. In fact, it's a good thing, because in this way here, the children will really be motivated. They will feel motivated to do, and in the beginning, they might do it for their little reward, but as they grow up, inshallah, the concept of reward of akhirah will set in, and thereafter, inshallah, it will become an ingrained thing in them. So this kind of incentive is in order, and it's encouraged to give them something to get them started. But of course, there should be a lot of balance and moderation in which we do it. And we should not give them anything that is harmful or detrimental to their akhirah as an incentive. For example, some people might want to give their children, you know, some of these toys and things that are detrimental to them in akhirah. So that should not become the incentive. One could offer them so many incentives that are absolutely halal and permissible and not doubtful. So those kind of incentives can be offered to them and should be offered, but as I say, it shouldn't be such that it shouldn't be so exorbitant also that the parents find difficulty to fulfill it, or the children now become greedy and they then future don't want to do these things until these expensive incentives are offered to them. So one should keep strike a kind of a balance in these things here. And once the promise has been made, it must be fulfilled. One cannot make a promise to a child and then renege on that promise. It's very, very detrimental, because what it does is it first of all breaks the child's confidence, and additionally it also sets a bad precedent for the child, that if my parents could lie, then there's nothing wrong if I lie. If my parents could break promises, there's nothing wrong if I break promises. So that's a very dangerous thing. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a mother who offered some dates or something to a child as an incentive to come close. And when the child came close, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked this, first of all, asked the mother, that did you really intend to give it to the child, or you just use it to entice the child? The mother said, no, I had the full intention. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, had you not had that intention, then you would have been written as a liar in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That it's lying is not just by way of words, it can be by action as well. Because here it was just an action of offering something. So if the child came near to take it, then you grab it, take it back and say, no, come here, I was only trying to catch you, and I was just trying to entice you, but they had no intention of giving it to that is deemed a lie. So we have to be very careful that we don't make empty promises to our children, offer or promise them the world, we'll give you this, we'll give you that, but when the time comes we don't deliver, and the children might not say anything, they might just keep quiet, but definitely it is going to impact on them negatively, and it will send a very, very wrong message. So you rather don't make any promises and just give something small than making big, big promises and not delivering and not giving anything.
That's true. There's also the issue of exams and fasting, Mufti Sahib. Sometimes the child wants to fast and the mother says, you know what, it's exams, to be too difficult for you, you should leave out your fast. We are speaking about minor children at the moment, we're not talking about the baligh ones, but what is the situation, Mufti Sahib?
Again, as I said earlier on, Mona, the guiding principle there is that look at the capability of the child. If the child is, you know, mashallah, healthy and well and quite capable and can manage, then encourage them and allow them, especially if they themselves want to fast, then don't discourage them. But if you find that the child is going to struggle and doesn't have the mental energy to cope, sometimes there are children, for example, who need some kind of medication they have to take, especially when it comes to mental exertion, they need certain medication they have to take and so on. And if they don't take that medication, then they become mentally fatigued. So in those cases, then they should not be fasting. As we're saying, we're talking about minor children. So in that case, they could skip. But if they can manage, then well and good. Again, just keep the middle path in all of these things.
That's very good, Mufti Sahib, the middle path. Mufti Sahib, moving on further, do they have to wake up for suhoor if they are fasting, or is it something recommended for them if they want to fast? Should they wake
up? They should actually be awoken for suhoor. They should be awoken for suhoor. It's very important that they get into that practice of getting up for suhoor. In any case, they're going to have to read their further salah. So they should be awoken for suhoor. And the food of suhoor is barakah, as per the hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Tasahharu fa inna fi suhoori barakah. So there's barakah in that food, and it will give them the strength to be able to cope with the day's fast. If they don't have suhoor, then it's a very long stretch, and then they could really become very hungry, and that way it could even sort of deter them from fasting in future. So it's actually a good thing to let them get up for suhoor.
Very good, mashallah. Now, moving on further, Mufti Sahib, in terms of also some of the practices, maybe the child wakes up for suhoor and then we feel that maybe the child is too tired, so we make them go to bed. Where do we fit in the aspect of Fajr Salah? Should we encourage them to read it at home or go to the masjid, or should they just read it and go back to sleep?
Yes, Maulana, again, we're talking of little children here. So, they should be awoken for suhoor towards the end.
Gotcha.
You know, like, don't get them up too early for the suhoor. When there's like maybe about 20 minutes or so left, they could be awoken at that time. And just comfortably for them to finish their suhoor. Right, there's no use, no need to make them keep 1.5 roza by getting them up so early, you know, maybe an hour or so before suhoor. No, 20 minutes is reasonable. They have something to eat, they can brush up and all of that, and make wudu and read their Fajr Salah awwal waqt, as it is in the month of Ramadan. Most of the masajid, in order to increase the musallis and the number of musallis, they opt to go for, Fajr in the first time, so that musallis can be, more, and they can also have some rest after that before they set off for work. So if those children read their Salatul Fajr in awwal waqt, as soon as the time sets in, and they go and sleep after that will be in order.
Now, Mufti Sahib, if a child, alhamdulillah, out of his own incentive wanted to fast, but as he sees 2 or 3 hours into the day, as you progress, he can't manage. What approach should the parent take? Should they encourage the child to complete the fast, or should they allow the child to break the fast? What should be the approach?
Yeah, again, Maulana, the middle part is very important. They should assess the situation and see that if the child is really struggling and battling and can't make it, then they should rather let the child break the fast, because it must not adversely affect the health of the child or make the child despondent or discourage the child. But if they can manage, it's just maybe a little bit of hunger, and to discipline them, to teach them that you have to sacrifice your urges and your desires and your wants and your needs. You've got to suppress these things for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give them a bit of encouragement and all of that. And inshallah, in most cases they would be able to manage then with words of encouragement.
Mashallah.
The children just need that little bit of encouragement. But if you find that really, they're really struggling and battling and they can't manage it, then definitely they should not be forced to keep that fast. They could break that fast. There's no kafara, there's no qaza on them, because these are minor children.
Very interesting comment coming through from one of the listeners. They saying, what about children who are living in countries where the fast is 18 hours and above? What should be the procedure there?
Yes, I was thinking of those kind of situations, one where you have these long fasts in far off countries where the children do struggle. So it's in those countries where we say that if they can't manage the full fast, then, and they can't cope with it, then you can ask that they can be allowed to break the fast. Based on the question that you just asked. And in those countries also, they could be encouraged to keep half fast, as we explained earlier on.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Definitely in those countries it is quite difficult. One has to accept that reality and adapt according. But then inshallah, in the years that follow after that, the fast becomes very, very short too.
Mashallah. Mufti Sahab, we'll have to leave it at that, because we've got one more ad break to catch up on, and inshallah we hope to speak to you next week.
Inshallah Tala Maulana, we will continue with some additional discussions relating to the fiqh of children.
MashaAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.